I'm just chilling with Adam, huh? Yeah, I'm just chilling with Adam, huh? I'm just chilling with Adam, huh? Look, that's the host of Adam, huh? I'm just chilling with
Stupid.
Ooh, I'm just chilling with Adam. Ooh. No, we're quoting Tekashi when we say, no, stupid.
Oh,
here we are. It's Adam 22 Show, episode number 5. We're all very, very excited to be here. Well, I didn't take a whole week off because what is it, Wednesday?
Yeah.
I'm so just very late.
Yeah, a little late.
Yeah, just a few days late. But if we could get this out tomorrow, which there's absolutely no telling that we can.
We should be able to.
We should be all right. We should be okay. But I have to get the illustrator to do the thing. Oh. So that might be.
All right. So maybe a couple days.
Yeah.
So at most.
How you guys doing? I got some stuff in mind to talk about, but I don't want to just jump out the window right away.
You don't want to brag too much out the window.
I don't want to jump right out the window because my first story that I want to talk about is how I became a member of Glow Gang.
Yeah, very bragging.
Which is very important.
It's very important.
Very important to talk about joining Glow Gang.
Yes.
So I'm Adam 22, how Chief Keef wants, and now I'm a member of Glow Gang.
That is actually how it works.
No, it happens just like that.
You know what's crazy about it, though, too, though, is that it was a surprise. Surprise Glow Gang joining initiation. And now I'm really a Chirac Savage now.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, you know, I was hanging out with all these dudes from Chicago. Because the night before that, too, we went to the studio at Juice WRLD.
I saw that.
Who is from Chicago and who hangs out with a lot of Chirac goons. So a lot of the same people who were in the studio with Chief Keef that the next night were with me with the Juice WRLD scenario the night before. It was Juice WRLD. That was amazing.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. Chris can confirm.
The most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, he went into the studio and just, like, you know, just freestyled us. And, you know, he kind of sings. So he, like, sang a song just, like, off top and it was, like, so good.
Perfect.
And then, like, he punched in a bunch on, like, the second ones and stuff like that. But, like, he would just keep going over and just, I don't know, just watching him work was amazing. But watching him do that song, like, first try in there and it was, like, super good like that. Like,
yeah. He does crazy. Another thing, too, where he'll go in and he'll do, like, he'll freestyle, like, 10 times on a song and just.
Yeah, he just kept doing it, and then I think he just cut out the pieces that he likes.
I don't know if he cuts up parts of it that he likes, or if he's just going until he finds the perfect one or whatever, but it was crazy. But then, all right, so I want to talk about, because Juice WRLD is incredible, but we've talked about him at some length. Let's talk about this. So this is how it happened, and what sucked is that I wasn't vlogging when the Trippy and Chief Keef shit happened, because it would have been such a good vlog. It would have been the perfect vlog, but I wasn't vlogging, and, like, by the time crazy shit started happening, I, like, A, didn't barely have any fucking charge on my phone, and B, just wasn't vlogging. I didn't have anything from earlier in the day. So basically, I see on Trippy's story, oh, I'm filming a video on Fairfax, like, blah, blah, blah. I hit him up. I'm like, yo, I'm trying to come through. Where you at? He sent me the address. I'm like, all right, perfect. I go through. There's probably like 200 kids. He's standing on top of an SUV. He's already screaming, fuck 6ix9ine, all this shit. They're all screaming it back at him, blah, blah, blah. I pull up. He sees me from the top of the SUV. Adam 22, you fucking clout demon. All of a sudden, all these kids are like fucking on me, like, Adam, Adam. Whatever. But then he tells me, Trippy's like, you know, we keep filming more scenes in this alley. And Trippy's like, yo, Tato and Keef are coming. I'm like, oh my God, that's so fire. And then it immediately hits me like, an enemy of my enemy is a friend of mine. Yep. Like, of course, now that these, Tato's got issues with 6ix9ine. Let me just spell it out for the people watching at home in case they are smart dumb.
I kill people.
The end of the story is, I kill people. Actually what started it. Is that?
That's the beginning.
Do we even have to explain that shit? Probably not. I'm not going to go in. But if you guys don't know why 6ix9ine and Tato apparently have issues, then you're missing out on one of the greatest memes of recent memory.
It's amazing. Definitely.
We do not support domestic violence.
We don't.
We don't know if any domestic violence occurred, but
I kill people.
It seems kind of irrelevant to the hilarity of the I kill people meme. And then also to me, it's like Trippy and Tato and Keef all meeting up. It's kind of like, well, it's not a statement about domestic violence. Let's just throw that out there.
It's just I kill people.
It's just killing people. It's good, natural murder. Anyway, I kill people. No, where were we? So Keef and Tato pull up in these cars, whatever. And I had just hit up Z Money, telling Z Money to come through. So Z Money comes through. I introduce him to Trippy. Keef and Tato, they know Z Money. Obala was there too.
Seen that.
And so we all just started driving around together. Z Money was very good at keeping up with them in his car. Bro, Keef and Tato drive like fucking psychopaths.
They came when me and Chris Song did the vlog, and they came in. you can hear them.
Everywhere you go. It's like you're in fucking Grand Theft Auto. I've never been in some shit like
that's
that.
That's awesome. I'm so jealous of that. I'm not going to lie. I don't really get jealous of like half the shit that happens, but that one I'm like,
they live crazy.
That seemed like it was awesome.
And they don't even give a fuck. They're pouring up pints in the fucking car right at the gas station. Just fucking, they don't give a fuck.
They live like outlaws. It's so fire.
It's a kind of almost more, it's amazing that Chief Keef hasn't really had that much legal trouble as an adult. Like,
he has, but not in L.A., it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, it seems. I mean, he can't go back to Chicago and shit like that, but I feel like he doesn't get in that much trouble. Either way, so we get to the studio. Trippy just, as soon as Trippy hops on, and I just hear, sure didn't know I kill people, real people. I immediately just turn to Z. I'm like, oh, my God. I swear to God, as soon as I heard him say that first line, I was like, this shit is a hit. And then they made the whole song, and I really feel like that song is, I mean, maybe not a hit, maybe not a top 10 hit, but that song is going to be huge. And the fact that it's based around the I Kill People meme. Oh, dear Lord, bro. That shit is
I saw you in the studio. I was on the internet, and I saw you on Worldstar, and they picked up the videos, and I was like.
Worldstar did?
Or
yeah, I seen Academics post it, I think.
Worldstar posted it.
I think Worldstar posted the video of me singing along to it or whatever?
Yes, I posted one video of you in the studio for sure. Yeah.
Interesting, because I sent them all to Worldstar, but I didn't see them post it. But
it was either that. Or Academics, if I'm wrong. But yeah, I saw that, and I was like, damn. I was going to text you. I'm like, this nigga really hearing history being made right now.
I stuck in the studio till like 3 in the morning. At first, Keith was going to get on another song, and then he was just like, fuck it. I'm getting on this one. Got on that shit. Body. I don't even know if people really know that Keith is on that song as well.
I mean,
official song name, I Kill People! Exclamation point. That's actually the song name.
It's right fire. To the point. I like it, though.
I'm really trying to get that song for No Jumper Records right now. I'm, like, trying to convince Trippy somehow that this is a good idea. He needs to give me the song. Not give it to me, but let me buy the song. We can make the song bigger than it could be on its own. Let's make this a real thing.
That'd be dope, we'll too. How is everything going with that? How's the song?
With hard the label?
Doing? Yeah, hard doing.
It's good. We got the video coming for Hard. We got a song. Should I say it as just a sneak peek for the audience?
I mean, we might as well give them a little
surprise. I'm not going to say who the other song is. But we have another one that's coming out that we're really excited about. We have the video for the Take Aim Block Boy. We got something fire coming from Shoreline. Mm. We have a couple of different options for artists that Shoreline might be teaming up with, both on a more mainstream level and a little bit more of an underground level, but I'm excited about that. I just had a meeting at Atlantic earlier today, so we're still
Musty, they just saw that they did reshot
Musty.
And they had even they even had Justin Combs in that video.
They did. And supposedly I'm supposed to interview him soon.
That would be fire. Because I had seen Justin Combs was listening to that song at a party with Diddy and everybody.
I think that's probably why they had him pull up to the video.
Yeah.
I was there for that. Fucking Benjamin Kicks. He pulled up. He was at the video shoot. He's just sitting there. Everybody's smoking weed all around him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like so funny. Because that one vlog has almost 300,000 views. It's called Shoreline Mafia Behind the Scenes, where he's drinking the giant jug of lean. Shout out to Hove. Shout out to Hove from Shoreline Mafia. Can we say, I want to, in the middle of this live stream that we're doing right now, I want to switch to this. I want everybody to see what I'm talking about when I talk about Sleepy Casper. Oh, wait. I got to turn this on.
Great.
No.
Whoa.
I can't even tell you, bitches. Sell it all.
So this is just a random SoundCloud rapper that's hanging out. Look at that. He used Crystal. I don't know who the fuck made this video in particular, but this is sort of a summary of one of the strangest people who's ever showed up at the store.
I didn't take that photo, by the way. That's not even my. That's my Instagram. But
that's
like,
why it's kind of funny.
I'm the king now.
Uh-huh.
Where's my crown?
Ooh.
Lightning beams in this fucking sound.
Look at Chris.
Start playing. Who run it?
And I shot a couple bullet takedowns.
Wow.
I ain't fucking.
Chris Long.
Now they're playing the Who Run It instrumental. I'm not trying to have this podcast get demonetized.
Shout out Kendrick. I'm not fucking with Bexley, though.
Shout out Kendrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. T. Chrisley.
What is? Oh, my God. Shout out
Press. He like, got away from this guy pretty quick. All right, watch this.
You hear me? Shout out Press. Motherfucking Press.
Shout out Press, motherfucking
Dance. I drip because of Press Play.
You can't really hear what I said there, but I thought what I said was pretty funny.
I don't know.
Shout out press mother. He goes, shout out press motherfucking play. I go, shout out press motherfucking Zans. Because he seems like, well, he doesn't seem like he's on Zans, but he seems like he's on some serious drugs.
Adam put me on. You hear me? Adam 22 holds a key, pussies. XXL don't hold shit. Wow. Y'all slept on Richard Kidd.
Here it comes. Watch.
You slept on Richard Kidd, bro. Y'all slept on freshman. Man, y'all don't hold shit, bro. Adam holds the key. I ain't even going on XXL. Fuck y'all. I tweeted y'all a million times.
That's the best part. I tweeted y'all a million times. Like, oh yeah, I bet you did. I bet you tweeted double XL a million times.
I'm up next.
And you thought it was going to do something. All right, the N-word is clearly what we're here for.
I'm the freshman. No, I'm the senior, nigga.
Mm. Ooh.
He gets so embarrassed by the time it's even out of his mouth. I felt like it was kind of racist how I pan right over to these two dudes.
Adam's like, oh shit, it's going down.
Peace and love out here. Peace and love out here.
Look at Chris Song's like, fuck, he's going to die.
Shout out to those guys for being really nice guys, because it would have been totally understandable if they beat the dog shit out of them.
They should have faded them.
I mean, it definitely would have been great content if they did. but, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was nice that they didn't because, okay, let's be real. Racist people do deserve to get beat up, but do people with mental illness deserve to get beat up? Because in his way that he said the N-word there, I felt like it was more indicative of him just being a psycho and not, he wasn't trying to say something racist. So I thought it was kind of cool that those dudes didn't trip out on him because... Do you really want to beat up a dude who's blatantly crazy?
They would have clearly just fucking ruined that guy.
Oh, God. I mean, they were smart enough to know, like, yo, it ain't even worth beating you up right
he's
now.
He's clearly on fucking drugs.
Also, what do you want to do? You want T Grizzly to watch you just do some psycho shit and just fight this random crackhead?
Yeah, kind of. I kind of would love that.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I'd be kind of hyped if T Grizzly saw me do some shit like that, too.
He would definitely been hyped.
Let's talk about how that dude was here for 3 days.
Right.
3 days every day here coming out. I almost fucking knocked him out the first day he was here. That was like the third day.
Shit. He kept coming to the store and shit,
annoying as fuck, just being annoying and shit. And
like, dude. He waited for you for 3 days, nigga, and 3 nights.
Stay off SoundCloud. Stay off SoundCloud because he had Sleepy Casper tattooed on his face. Casper with a K. That's not how you spell that.
Nope.
Nope. You fucked up. You didn't even spell it right.
Maybe he's in a gang that starts with a K or something.
Yeah. Well, there, it yeah. is. No, but it's
a ketamine.
I agree.
He's in a ketamine gang.
Okay, let me pretend I know about gangs, though. It's a thing if you're a Crip where you turn your Ks to Cs. But is it a thing where if you're blood, would you change your C's to K's?
What?
I don't know. Let's not get into it. But you ever see like Crip rappers write CC instead of CK? Like if they wrote the word kick. Well, then I think they would actually write KICC.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That could be, that's a double K. It could be a problem.
I have no idea.
No, we're not in gangs, but, you know, we like to talk about them.
We hang out with gang members, though.
Like Tekashi 6ix9ine and Trippie Redd. I got to turn that off. No, because that was... So that whole studio session went down. That was amazing. Obviously, for me, being such a huge Chief Keef fan, godly experience. And, yo, Tato is so cool. And can I'm just going to say this. I'm not sure how much details I want to even go into because it was such a weird scenario that I have such a hard time even explaining exactly what happened. But basically, T.I. showed up in the middle of the session and there was like an awkward moment between Tato and T.I. because I'll try to like not be super specific, but basically Tato walked up to T.I., which I know it's weird. Why did T.I. just walk into the room? It's because it was Trippie's session. It said Trippie on the door and I guess he knows T.I. Mm-hmm. But then it was Tato, me, Z Money, and a couple of like Tato's friends, the Glow Gang guys. T.I. walks in. Tato goes right the fuck up to him. And anybody who knows Tato knows that he has like the most aggressive energy. Like he just.
For sure.
He will come at you. Like he does not mind fucking with a random person. Like right before this, a producer had come in and Tato just asked him, like, what you want? You got Molly? It's not like Tato was taking Molly. He was just joking around. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, no, I ain't got no Molly. He's like, well, what do you got? Tato just fucks with people. But then so T.I. walks in and Tato comes up to him on some like fan showing love shit, like, yo, what's happening, blah, 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 blah. And then Tato says, we about to go viral. Because Tato's thinking in his head that if he gets a photo with T.I., it's going to go viral because people are never expecting to see each other. But T.I. in his head is thinking like, viral? Like, You about to world star me? Like, that's clearly where T.I.'s brain went.
Yeah.
And Tato was like, oh, no, no. Tato actually saved the situation because he goes, nah, man, you a legend. I'm a legend. We got Chief Keef Fred over here, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, we all from Chicago, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I think T.I. realized at that point, like, oh, he's not about to punch me. But he still just felt confused as fuck. And then so he just walks out. And I heard that he went into the other room and immediately started talking about Tato, like, yo, who is that kid? Like, I like that. Like, he liked it. Like, he actually thought it was kind of, like, cool just that he had such a personality. But then, I swear to God, we spent, like, the next hour sitting in the studio, like, unraveling what had just happened because it was so weird. It was so weird that T.I. walked in. It was so weird that, like, oh, because, there was a moment. No, no cats. Fuck this cat. There was a moment where Tato basically, like where T.I. kind of questioned where he was like, what you trying to do? Like, when he said the viral thing?
Yeah.
And Tato immediately is just like, I'm with whatever you're trying to do. Like, he, like, Tato wasn't coming at him on some aggressive shit, but as soon as T.I. turned a tiny little bit aggressive, Tato just matches that energy, like, immediately. And keep in mind, me and probably, like, 9 other people are all just sitting there, like,
what the fuck is happening?
Bro.
That's crazy.
Crazy situation. Anyway.
Shout out T.I.
But what was that accent like in his hat? Was his hat like...
And he just seemed like the coolest motherfucker on earth. He had a trench coat. He had one dude with him, like a big ass dude. I don't know if it was security or anything, but
partner. Excuse me, partner.
He was just slick as fuck, cool as hell. I wanted to go up and be like, yo, I'm Adam from No Jumper, blah, blah, blah. I was hoping that he would like settle in and be kicking it for a little while so I could kind of introduce myself and stuff, but instead it was like an awkward like 2 minutes and then he was just out. But hey, I kill people. So
hey, real people. He
probably doesn't know about the kill people meme.
Now he does. I think he does now.
He might. But, I mean, he probably went and did his history on Tato. Yeah.
It's like, who the fuck was that Tato nigga?
So, from what you just saw of the 6ix9ine Trippy Red, like, there was just an Instagram show, a little side-by-side show. Can we call it an Instagram show?
Instagram live show.
An Instagram live where 6ix9ine put Trippy in there, so they're side-by-side. 200,000 people watching on fucking Instagram. Nuts. That's insane.
Yeah. Fucking nuts.
I think it's a record, right?
It's gotta be like
it's definitely the record for like rap Instagram stuff. We I'm can pretty try, sure. If
you check it on Wiki, let us know in the Wiki. Comments.
I mean, like when Drake goes on Instagram Live, there's not 200,000 people, but does he ever go on there?
Not a lot of people like really.
I don't know.
Use it like
I'm trying to think of like the biggest artists. They don't really go on Instagram Live that much. Like
I've only seen like Drake once on Instagram Live.
I mean, you see Migos on Instagram Live and stuff, but I feel like they probably are getting like a couple thousand, 10,000 maybe like, people watching.
But it's like both of their fans, so exactly. I think that's why. So it probably is a fucking record, actually.
No shit. Thank you for restating with it.
Hey,
I love when you just sort of skim through the conversation and then you sort of figure it out later.
Hey, man.
They liked it when I called you out for finishing my sentences. They did.
Sentences.
You finished my sentences.
I mean, I already noticed you doing it once so far.
I did it once, yes. And I realized, and I was like...
That we cooked your ass for it.
I'm not trying to get cooked again.
Like chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
But...
Did I not pay you for last time?
You did pay me.
Okay, good.
But you actually paid me right after.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Handsomely.
You could have lied.
I could have.
That would have been very upsetting.
You're a white man that pays.
I feel fat.
Why? You're that salad?
My muscles. I feel like my muscles have been like growing a lot and stuff. But then the other day, I got this massage. It's like brutal. Fuck this cat. God damn it. This crazy ass massage. And now my muscles just feel weak. And I feel like the past 3 nights in a row, I've done something at night that ended up with me eating a lot of candy or cake by the end of the night. Just somehow
candy
happens.
Or cake. What the fuck you have cake candy. For?
Yeah.
Okay. Studio with Juice WRLD. Huge bowl of eating. Candy and all these chips and stuff.
You're eating a ton of candy that night. But dude, that Asian guy that was working there kept baking cookies.
Yes.
Dude, fuck my life up.
Studio cookies are the shit.
They're always the same. Why is it always the same?
It's like chocolate
cookie?
Chip, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like always. Nestle Toll House out of the tub.
But I'm telling you, okay. The next day in the studio with Chief Keef, they had the exact same type of cookies.
Like every studio has those cookies.
I don't understand where they come from.
He was making them, putting the thing to cool, and I was over there like fucking scraping them, still soggy. Like,
fucking Chris Long.
I was like, this motherfucker.
It's funny too, because if they bring out cookies and nobody eats them, they won't make more cookies. But with the fucking Glow Gang, they were eating the cookies. Yeah. They were on the cookies.
Glow Gang eats cookies.
They eat cookies. No gangy cookies. They eat cookies. I don't know. What, did you have any particular impression from when you're? I noticed you didn't have the stamina to stick out the full 17-minute trippy and 6ix9ine call. You had to like go outside.
I went outside for a second, but like
you had to get some air. You were too turned on.
No, I had to get some fucking beer.
Rainbow hair.
Beer. I had to get some, you got an outside beer?
Yeah.
It wasn't even refrigerated.
I refrigerated some now.
Okay. You're disgusting. But
so you're drinking a hot.
It's not.
He's drinking a hot one.
Hey man, I'm like a college kid at heart, man. No cap.
Poor.
How old are you?
22.
Okay. So you are a wee youngin. I guess we do kind of have to give you the benefit of the doubt sometimes.
I'm a growing young Jamaican.
I mean, you should take all the beers and put them in the fridge since you're the only one that drinks them.
The only person. We get all this free beer, but then again, we also get all this free weed. But you come through and you actually drink the beer. Nobody else drinks the beer. But I mean, I get it because like for most of my life, I would have been drinking the beer as well. Now I don't really drink beer.
Yeah, but my thing with Trippy and Tekashi, they're both on the same sign with Elliot. They're helping each other.
Showed 10K.
Yeah. I think they're helping each other. And I love it because they're both pushing each other forward. The more they do shit like this, we're all tuning in.
It sucks because there is, like, that's the main thing. Like, when I was watching their Instagram live conversation, I was trying to figure out, like, what is the argument here? There is no argument. There's nothing that they disagree on. There's no big issue or nothing. It's just they don't like each other. They both talked a lot of shit about each other. There's nothing else. There's no like central. There's no like thing that we need to figure out if it's true or not. Yeah. There's no like what does this argument hinge upon? It's just who you like more. Like who's more successful? Like okay, like
I feel like they're like two brothers. Just like
yeah,
I feel like they're like two brothers and they're both trying to outdo each other. Like no, I put you on, and it's like they're both growing, and I feel like they don't even realize like. There were so much famous people in that live. Like, they were both just feeding each other and fueling each other. And I love it. I'd rather see them beefing than them being friends because it's making both their careers really exciting and really dope.
I mean, it is fun. But the thing is that I really don't think that they're gaining that much from this at this point. They just don't need to be doing this. If Tekashi wants to troll somebody and he wants to, like, you know, have something to fucking make funny ass jokes about online, like, does he really gain anything from Trippy? No, because the problem is that everybody who knows about Trippy knows about Tekashi, and everybody who knows about Tekashi knows about Trippy. So it's like, if Tekashi wants to troll somebody and wants to start a beef that'll actually, like, get his shit out there more, he would go for somebody that would make more sense. Somebody bigger, somebody different, blah, blah, blah. Instead, they're just constantly feuding every day, going back and forth over this shit. And I just want to make it clear that even though I was in the room with Trippy and them when they made the song, I don't give a... Like, I don't have nothing against 6ix9ine. I'm going to fart.
Disgusting.
Comment below if you could hear that. But I just have no idea, like, what... Like, I have nothing against 6ix9ine. To me, it's just... It's a senseless beef. The thing I agree with is that like 6ix9ine has been very disrespectful towards a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And I can understand why Trippy doesn't like him because of that and stuff. And I mean, my other main thing with 6ix9ine that I will say about him though is that he did that Montreal. Did I talk about this last time?
No.
How he says that Adam didn't want to see me succeed. Adam didn't believe in me.
Academic shit.
On the academic shit, I talked about it. Another little fart there. But basically, like, 6ix9ine says that I didn't want to see him succeed, that I didn't believe in him. I gave him an interview so early on when he had 60,000 followers. It was super early.
I was here for it, and it was a good interview, too. You guys should go back and watch that.
It's still his best interview. It's still his most in-depth interview.
I disagree with that, too, because, like, we were bumping Tekashi in here always on the live streams and everything. We were like, this is the hardest shit. We were listening to it all the time. So we were... the biggest fans.
I wanted to see him succeed, but then, okay, you know what happened? This is kind of a rehash of prior plot lines if you watch that academics live stream that we did a while back. But what I want to say is that I'm high. My brain's melting.
How are you high? You didn't even fucking smoke.
I smoked before I came here.
You're a loser.
And my brain was hurting during the meeting.
Smoking blunts by himself.
Yeah. You're a loser.
That is exactly what happened.
You're smoking blunts by yourself.
I go to the movies by myself.
We were hanging out with Benzino on the fucking box out front.
Yo. Crazy. Well, what was I about to say about 6ix9ine?
You're rehashing old plot lines.
Plot lines. But I did give him that interview super fucking early on. And then what happened was that the thing about, oh, like, you know, the child sex stuff or whatever. Which, for the record, he did not fuck an underage person. He just was in a video where she was performing a sex act on someone else. I get it. I'm not saying he's a pedophile. I think it's kind of unfair when people do say that about him, because people like to say that to me about shit that's completely not true too. So propaganda. I know how that feels. But you know, I just think that from Tekashi's perspective, like, he, on that interview that I did with him, he's all saying, my name is Daniel Hernandez. Look my shit up. You won't find anything, blah, blah, blah. Then it came out that people did look it up a little bit more, and it's like, oh, there was more truth to it. He did plead guilty to some shit.
It helped.
And it was like, you know, for me, I just wanted to fall back on it a little bit, but I think Tekashi, like, didn't ever, like, forgive me for the fact that he could tell that I, like, kind of stopped talking to him and stuff, like, when that shit came out. But to me, from my perspective, I was like, damn, I look crazy because he lied on my podcast, and I wasn't sitting there with the facts to back up the truth. Instead, I was like, okay, he says he's just not guilty. I'm not a fucking investigative journalist. I'm not going to go hunt down a fucking report from the precinct. But then that shit did come out. So, I fell back a little bit, but I never said anything about him. I never said I don't fuck with 6ix9ine for this reason.
Yeah, no, respectfully felt like in a respectful
I think you just were just quiet about him because I think, because from my experience, every time I heard you talk about him, you always kind of defended him, be like, he didn't do anything. He was just in the video where, you know, whatever.
But at this time that I did the interview, I did not even know what the details were of the situation. Yeah, yeah. Like, I didn't even know that it was a video.
Once it all came out, you kind of always, like, defend him in a way. Like, I don't think it's anything that bad. He was just in a video. He didn't do anything.
I mean, I definitely think it's bad. It's just that, you know, I understand that it was almost certain. It was a mistake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's look at R. Kelly. Why people are so mad about R. Kelly. It is clearly not a mistake that he keeps fucking these young ass girls and chaining them up in his house and all this bullshit. It's like, that is just what he's into. And what he is into is probably illegal and immoral. With 6ix9ine, I think it's pretty obvious he made a mistake. It's not like there's no reason for us to believe that he has this crazy fetish and that he's like off doing something with young girls or whatever. He was 18, and he was in a video with a girl who was quite young, but, I mean, he was 18, and it was pretty obvious to me that it was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he deserves to be defended a little bit.
The first song that was played at your birthday party was Gummo.
You know the first song that was played at my birthday party.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Such a strange reference.
That's not a strange reference, because we was bumping Gummo hard, and we had a hard time getting the speaker system set up.
That is true.
And he was like,
Gummo was a popular song.
It was a very popular song.
I wouldn't really take it as like a sign of our allegiance to 6ix9ine that we played Gummo to start the party that night, but more of just like, this is a good song.
Yeah, we really just like his music.
Nothing against him, but
I don't know. I tried.
I do love, like, I mean, you do, as much as it was fun for me to be in the studio with Keith and Tato and Trippy, you got to think about the other side of you it farted. Is, I just farted, is that,
I heard that,
you farted,
Trippy is, or Tekashi is running around Hawaii with Cuban, like,
right
during
now?
All, oh, what so out of the loop, so out of the loop, you. Even he knows, he's white,
yeah, come on,
you got to start studying, you got to start paying attention to the culture, all
right,
you're not built for this, anyway, they're running around in Hawaii together, of all places, like, that's kind of like as much as fun as I was having being in the studio with Keith and Trippy together, I mean, 6ix9ine is in Hawaii with the girl
that niggas kill people for.
He kills people. I mean, Tato kills people, but I mean, he's in fucking Hawaii with her. I don't know. I thought that was
pretty funny.
I mean, going to Hawaii or going on vacation, like when you're in some beef or whatever, is kind of like the best.
Fuck you.
It's the best thing you can do because it's just like, fuck you, man. I don't care. Anyway, I will say about Tato too. I just want to send this observation out there. I have never seen anyone who was just accused of something as serious as what he was accused of that did not give a fuck. Like, did not care at all. He wasn't looking at his phone. He wasn't stressing out. You would not have thought that anything would happen. That anything happened.
Some real savages.
Because they're real savages. They really don't give a fuck.
He's real street.
Yeah, their whole energy is like, when me and Chris Long did that show, straight, like, their manager was like, he was the one kind of like, really like, yeah, I got you. Let me walk you up over there and like do all this. Like,
I mean, that's kind of the thing with Keith and Tato and all them is that like they are like bros to the point where they really don't seem like they give a fuck what anybody really thinks about them. Like, they have their own thing, and it's like, if you don't like us, that's okay. Which is good. Like, that's a good thing to have.
They're just like the type of people, like, their mentality is like, all right, cool, you don't fuck with us doing that. Like, we're going to make money doing that one way or another. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing this right now, but like, oh, if this was gone, we're still going to be doing fucking some shit and making our money. Like, you ain't going to stop us. You know what I mean?
Who knows what those dudes do?
Dude, like, crazy.
When they're not in the booth. I don't know. Anyway, I wanted to look at, we have a list. Oh, different things that we could be talking about right now, but I wanted to talk about this is the Lil Xan mental health issue.
Wow.
What a tweaker.
What comedy.
I thought about making a whole video about that just because I wanted to talk to him. I want to give him some advice in terms of like not doing stuff like that. Also, what's my indigestion? I keep burping.
And farting.
And farting.
And farting.
Blarp.
Sounded like you broke a guitar string.
My toes are falling off.
Damn.
Yeah.
Old man 22. Leprosy.
Actually, before we start talking about that, can I just talk about Lena puking everywhere last night?
Ooh, why?
She pregnant?
We went to this party.
Daddy 22.
Fuck you. Fuck you guys. No, this is what happened. All right, so we went to Trisha Paytas' birthday party.
My love.
Who you like?
I would fuck the oh my God. You're that's my BBG. Ones, huh? That's my BBW love.
You known about who she was for a while?
I saw her on the timeline when her and Lena started interacting each other.
Right.
And I saw, I'm like, God damn. I like the picture of her eating pizza on a bed and just like her just thickness. I feel like I'm taking down like a lion or some shit. You feel
a lion. You okay, Trisha, he compared you to a lion. So like, she's dating this dude, Jason, who's in David Dobrik's vlogs. You know David Dobrik? You're Jamaican. Okay. Yeah. So David Dobrik is like a really, really popular vlogger who like he does. If we weren't recording right now, I would show you one. But he basically does these like short form, like his vlogs are always 4 minutes and 20 seconds. And like they're just really funny. Like he films a lot and then he cuts out like the little funny fast paced parts and like makes these vlogs that are like really, really good. And so basically she had a big party. He's dating her friend or whatever. So we went. I met David Dobrik. That was really cool. He did not know who I was. He knew who Lena was, which is nice. So we were walking.
He was capping.
You know who Shane Dawson is? Okay, Jamaican. No, not white is what I should be saying. But you also didn't know that Tekashi was in Hawaii.
With Cuban. I didn't know that. I mean, now it just makes everything more interesting to me because he's really like, yo, fuck y'all niggas.
You gotta study up. If we could see the chat right now, the chat would be like, Hakeem, pay attention.
I'm gonna do my more research now.
Shane Dawson walks up to me. He's like one of the most famous YouTubers ever. He's huge. Mm-hmm. He still gets like 5-6 million views on every video he puts out, which is pretty insane because that's like what Jake Paul was doing at the height of his success, which by the way, Jake Paul has fallen off.
Because he's stupid.
His stats are going down.
Sucks.
He sucks, but whatever.
Hope you saved that money.
Shane Dawson walks up to me and says, yo, I love that interview you did with Bad Baby. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, that is so crazy. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, you're just talking to me about it. Like, super cool. I followed him. He followed me back. Ching!
You gonna get that interview or what?
I would like to get that interview, the Shane Dawson interview, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't really care about the interview. I just thought, it's just such a good feeling to get love for, like, a piece of content you did from somebody who you would never think would know about your content, you know?
Or you got so much hate for,
too. Yeah, but you know what's weird is that the Will Vicky interview, I got a lot of hate for. The one with Bad Baby, I didn't really feel like I got that much. Just because, I mean,
Will Vicky's more hated.
Bad Baby needs to hold on to the Will Vicky thing because Will Vicky makes her look so good in comparison.
Yeah. True.
Although, also, Will Vicky with the green hair is interesting. A lot of times, green hair
I'm still trying to fuck Will Vicky. I want a shout-out. I'm just trying to fuck
I
want to
fuck
out.
You for a shout out.
I'm going to fuck Will Vicky for
maybe
a shout out.
Maybe you should tell her that.
I should. I'm going to DM her. Yo,
get a dick. Let me fuck for a shout out.
I'm going to fuck for a shout out. No cap. Y'all niggas out here, listen, man. Stop fucking these bitches that can't do shit.
Why would she fuck for a shout out when the fucking benefits you? Obviously, it doesn't benefit her in any way.
I got good dick. No. It benefits her.
And then also, she has to shout you out.
I got good dick.
Let me ask you something. You left that party we did the other day with a girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
How was that?
I mean, we hooked up, but I ain't fucked. She wasn't trying to let me fuck all the first day. We was just hooking up.
Lame.
And her friend was there. And I'm
her
sorry.
Friend was
I'm
there?
Not,
I thought you were leaving for the threesome.
I wanted to, but I'm just
you
not there yet, bro. I'm not there yet.
not there yet, bro.
I'm being honest. I'm honestly being, I'm just honest. I'm just being honest. I couldn't pull the three, but we did hook up. We're going to link on Friday. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to smash. You dig?
One time, me and Lena had a threesome with some girl, and her friend was there, and her friend didn't want to hook up, but her friend filmed the entire thing. So it's just this video. I don't have it. I think it's on Lena's phone.
That's kind of cool, though. I mean, like, I wanted to, like, I really wanted to run the three, but she just wanted to hook, she was just trying to hook up. She's like, I'm not really like that. She was telling me about her. She was just saying she was a good girl, this and that.
I thought she was about to leave you for me and Lena.
I thought so, too. I ain't gonna hold you. At one point, I'm like, I done not stole it. But
he kept coming over me like, damn, they're trying to steal my bitch.
Because I was kind of teasing you with the idea of it, just because I know that this girl is a Lena fan.
Yeah.
If Lena's trying to bring her home, she would go home. That's actually fucked up, but probably true, is that this girl probably would have gone back with us and hooked up with us. And I don't know her, so I'm not judging her, but I'm saying a lot of fangirls are like this, is that they would have gone back and probably hooked up with us just to hang out with her.
No cap.
You know, which is kind of like, that's almost kind of like fucked up, like manipulative, like just in the sense of like, you want people to be doing stuff for the right reason. Like you want to fuck you, not just to hang out.
Yeah.
But hey, if you want to fuck to hang out.
I thought it was going down. I'm not going to hold you. I saw her and Lena. She looked at Lena. I'm like, oh, and then Adam was like joking about it. And I'm like, well, it's all good because it's LA at the end of the day. I'm a fuck. If I got to fuck after you, it's cool. I'm still going to get the nut. We bros, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I relate to it.
I'm going to have to say this, though. You are putting the pussy on a pedestal because you left with the girl before the vlog was done. You half-assed motherfucker.
No, I went to
Adam
go get,
had to finish it.
I went to go get pizza. I thought I was coming right back. But you
I was back.
Right. What happened? Why'd you leave?
No, I went to go get the pizza. No, and then I came back.
You never came back because we were here for like another hour and a half at least, 2 hours.
I came back and you was like, Adam had to finish the vlog.
Oh, I did say that he finished it, but you came back like after Adam was already gone.
And that's my bad. I fucked up. That was my bad. I'm sorry about that. I was not thinking. I was a bad Jamaican, and I'm sorry.
A bad Jamaican.
I'm sorry.
No, but what I will say, I will say this, is that I've definitely been there, and it always feels like an L when you want to, when you're so horny, you want to get some pussy so bad that you could be having a party, you could have all your friends around, but you got a girl, and you know you can fuck right now.
Yeah.
So you're like, I'm a dip at 7:45. I'm going home at 9:20 p.m. You get back to the crib, you know, you drink a little bit more, you pipe her out. All of a sudden, you're like, God damn. It's 10 o'clock. Like, all my friends are still hanging out. They're still going to be hanging out for another 5 hours.
And that's you go back up.
You go back to the party, but you got to get rid of her.
I want, because the friend
you already
was
fucked. You can't just keep hanging out. This is me as a single man. I'm not, this is not my current
state. Her to leave. No, you got to get up early for work. Get the fuck out.
I got to get up early, get ready to go to bed. Yeah. I got to get
you
up early.
Since I ever got my own spot, I like when girls sleep over now. Like,
because
like
you're
that.
A fucking douche.
I like that. I like, because I'm not going to fuck you if you can't sleep over, and I'm not trying to, like, fuck in the morning. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like when a bitch sleep over.
I'm putting myself in my single guy's shoes. Sometimes I like it, but here's the other thing. I fart a lot in my sleep.
You fart a lot on a podcast.
I fart a lot on my podcast. I just fart a lot. And so basically what happens is that, you know, I'll be sleeping. I'll be farting so loud that, of course, they're going to wake up. Of course, they're probably going to be scared. They're probably going to have to run into the other room. But, yo, bro, honestly, the other day I farted so bad that while Lena was in bed that she got up and ran out of the room.
Poor Lena. Right there, so. How has it been? Is this like a month in now that you guys moved together?
Oh, I forgot to keep talking about her puking last night.
Oh, yeah.
All right. She probably has, I think I had 3 drinks and I think she had 3, maybe 4 drinks, which is a terrible idea. Like, I can easily have 3 drinks and not be drunk. She has 3 drinks. She's drunk. Like, she fucking, and I think, she, like, because I kind of was, like, not feeling the vibe after a while because I was just sort of over it. It was just, like, everybody getting drunk, and I wasn't trying to get drunk. So I'm just sort of sitting there on my phone and shit. She's, like, getting a little too drunk. We hop in the Uber. She's, like, blatantly, like, feeling sick and shit. Right as we're pulling up here, bleh, like, I didn't even see it. But all of a sudden, I just look over. There's puke all over the inside of the car. It's on the outside of the car.
The Uber?
Yes, all over the Uber. I'm going to get charged out the ass for that shit.
She's,
like, I'm going to pay for it. I'm, like...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, I'm like, you can pay for it. That's a start. The problem is I'm probably going to lose my Uber fucking privileges. No, I mean, probably not.
You're going to lose a star. Half a star.
I might have 22. To be a Lyft guy. Oh,
God.
What's cheaper?
Lyft's cheaper.
Yeah, but the color of the app is just ugly.
Pink app? It's just what ugly. Am I, a fucking weirdo?
Sorry, Lyft.
What am I, a hippie?
Uber over here.
I'm a hippie or something? I'm just going to fire up a pink app when pink it needs app. To go somewhere?
Hey, bitch, pink it's app. My pink app.
Like Tony's fucking ears.
Yeah, and like his fucking nipples that go all along his body, you know?
But, pink app. Yeah, so...
Anyway, so she puked all over the place. She's sitting in the car next to me. She got a titty hanging out, puke everywhere, all over.
Did you take her? Did you shower her? Like,
no, I was kind of a dick when we got back to the house. I was like, no, because I thought that she might just hop right into our bed. I was like, yo, shower now, like as in like don't get in a fucking bed covered in puke. So then she takes the shower. I hear her go into bed, whatever. I'm sitting downstairs on my computer smoking a blunt, fucking watching Drama Alert or some shit. I go up. I'm walking right into the bed, tiptoeing. Just feel my foot just step on some gross shit. I'm like, oh, hell no. I turn the light on my phone, shining at my foot. I just stepped into a big old puke patch that she left on my side of the bed.
Damn.
So instead, I just look down. Because I had like a couple of shirts. Like she had folded a couple of my shirts from the laundry and put them next to my bed. Ugh, she puked all over it. And I fucking went and I slept in the other room. I didn't even bother cleaning it up or anything. I'm like, fuck that. She cleaned it up in the morning.
Yeah.
Damn.
So that was last night. She didn't want me to talk. Well, she this morning, I was like, yo, I'm going to talk about this for the vlog because I don't want the vlog to like end short and then you don't know. I'm just gonna explain it right now. I start telling the whole story. I told the whole story. I just look over. She got a wicked sad look on her face because she didn't know how fucking graphic my description of it was gonna be. I have to get my car clean because I still got some fucking puke chunks from there on.
How long was she puking for?
All night, apparently.
I mean, a lot.
Yeah, that sounds like all night.
She said she just got motion sickness from the car, which, to be fair, actually kind of makes sense because she didn't have that much to drink, and she wasn't doing drugs or anything. You know, we used to do drugs together. We cut it out for New Year's, but no, as of New Year's. But I mean, whatever. Anyway,
yeah.
I don't know. What else were we supposed to talk about? Was there anything else that?
We
definitely had Matt shit.
Got
But what videos did we put out? Well, we put out the Sheck West interview, which I thought was a very, very powerful piece of content. He's somebody that we're like, I'm looking at as
he's up next, the
future.
For sure.
He's the future.
For sure. I think with all the cosigns that he have and his influence and...
Yeah, I'm looking at my list of topics that you recommended. And you wrote, YBN left Black China for younger thoughts. Who told you that?
My roommate sat me down.
Sat
me down. We were
sat
on the couch.
Sat you down told you about YBN not being in Black China's relationship.
No, he was on the couch, and I'm like,
listen, Hakeem, come here. We have
listen
to
here, son.
Have a seat right here. We need to have a talk.
Once there was a woman named Black China.
Oh, my. Y'all doing some.
And a young rapper named YBN Omejay.
I hate y'all.
He pulled up with the chopstick. And then he rhymed it with mopstick. You know, the repeating is so weird. Chopstick, mop dick. Damn, we got almost 3,000 people watching.
That's so fun.
It's
lit. Those are good numbers because usually when you have like a celebrity or somebody here, those are usually the
numbers. It's never that high. It never gets up to like 3,000-4,000 unless we got somebody famous with us. Like Ice Poseidon's one did super good. This is the host chat, so it's good. But a lot of these people will donate before they realize.
We're going to listen to their music.
That we're going to listen to their music afterwards. Who knows how long the live stream will go. I don't know. I haven't done this in a while. But this is another thing I want to talk about. Part of the reason why we were so upset when Hakeem left to go and suck a boob and not have sex that one night instead of hosting the vlog is because, you know, we're trying to diversify No Jumper so that the No Jumper vlogs are hosted by people other than me as often as possible. Hakeem is a primary person. We had Diablo host for a little bit the other day. Said the N-word.
A little bit, yeah.
People definitely think he's white. That was a little controversial.
I didn't even see that.
It came out today. You probably did not see it.
I'm joking.
Ecuadorian. But anyway, we put that one. But I don't know. We're just trying to like get like a nice little revolving cast of hosts. But like, Chris, criticize Hakeem as a vlogger. Like, what are the things that he does that you don't like as a person who films in comparison to me or in comparison to whoever?
No, he's getting better. He just has to, what you don't realize is that it's a lot of hurry up and wait. like when we're at the Smokers Fest. It's like, hurry up and just wait by Little Pump's trailer because we're going to get that shot of Little Pump getting out of the trailer and we're going to walk with him and get on stage. And we're going to miss a whole bunch of other shit that you want to do. But this is
we talked about more that,
important. You know what I mean? Yeah. Stuff like that. And then you just got to be prepared in your body language. And you have to be like more, I would say, outgoing a little bit,
okay,
and less introverted, which you're fine at. You just got to kind of be in the mood. Like, Adam's just really good at walking up to people. Hey, what's up? This is Hakeem. He's a stupid Jamaican. And, you know, he's out here just trying to promote himself and try to get to 20,000 followers. Yeah. What's up, Hakeem? You know, he's just
never going to happen.
You just got to be more assertive with people and stuff like that. And don't be scared if they're a celebrity. Who gives a fuck about them? You know what I mean?
That's
just
true.
Try to get your shot.
I think I'm going to, even now, I've from the last podcast, host show, I was trying to work on things. I'm just constantly trying to learn and work. And
I mean, you're always coming up with the idea, hey, should we go shoot this? I mean, you're always trying something.
You have no broadcasting ability, so, I mean, or not an ability, but experience.
No, this is probably new to you. Yeah, this is new. So I'm learning. I mean, I think I'm going to probably bring, I'm going to maybe start asking more questions, do a little bit more research if I know.
And try to be more natural, which is hard for me too, because I do the same thing when I have to jump in there and take on camera. But just like, Adam's just like, camera. Oh, hey guys, what's up? Fucking, we're here doing this host chat right now and whatever. You're like, hey, what's up? You know, like you're more kind of like trying to
TV,
like,
He's
just more.
I think I need to, I'm a confident person, but I need to get more confident. No cap. I'm just, as a person right now, I think I need to really, because like there's times when I'm like really, really, but I think I need to bring that all the fucking time. You know what I'm saying? And that's something I haven't even thought about because like, you know, we got the Six Dogs and Young Bands tomorrow, you know, so I've learned a lot. I watched all these things and I watched what I could do better and I cringe at myself, you know. I learned that word through YouTube.
Cringe? You didn't know about cringe?
No, not until I read YouTube comments.
Sleepy Casper. I said that was the cringiest thing I ever filmed, and I think that's probably a safe assumption.
100%.
Definitely got to be the cringiest thing I ever filmed.
But I think I'm learning a lot, and definitely. Because,
what you do too is like when you go up to people, if you just act like you know them, they'll just follow that with you. You know what I mean? They'll just feed off that energy. And if you're just like, oh, what's up? You act super chill with someone, they'll kind of...
I kind of had a realization the other day because we were doing this Zaytoven like meet and greet vlog that people will see soon. So we're just like hanging out and, you know, one of his artists or like some guy that he works with some capacity comes up to me and he's like, yo, like, what's up with that interview? And I'm like, you know, I mean, this happens all day, every day, that people come up to me and ask for interviews who clearly are not at the point where they deserve an interview in any sense, you know, like, I say to him, cause I got Chris with the camera right there. I'm like, do you want to do a little interview right now? Like, we'll just, you know, cause it's like, he definitely does not deserve an interview, but maybe in the middle of this vlog, you want to, if we film you talking for 2 minutes and then we actually use 20 seconds of it. All right, there you go. There's your little introduction to the vlog or whatever. Maybe that's what you deserve. And then I was even thinking about it like, all right, like, think about this. This is one thing I like about Academics, the stream stuff that he does, is that it's like, okay, if there's someone who's not a priority character in hip-hop or whatever, but he'll have them on stream and they can just talk to Selena Powell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably not going to make that many videos about Selena Powell, but, you know, he did make, you know, he'll have her on the stream and talk to her and have fun with her or whatever. I was kind of thinking about that with the vlogs, too, is that, you know, or with the stream and stuff, even like, okay, there's this dude, KB. Is it KB or KD?
KB.
KB, who is in the song Gummo, Tekashi 6ix9ine says,
yo, KB, you a loser, nigga.
So he gets called a loser by Tekashi 6ix9ine, this huge number one song. And then, like, we were talking the other day, and somebody's like, do you want to talk to him? And I'm like, oh, that's perfect. Like, I don't want to give him, like, a full interview, but we could just have him on the vlog and just make a vlog and like KB responds to blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know, like the same way Tekashi or the same way Academics does on a stream where he'll just talk to sort of like peripheral figures in the whole equation. We do more stuff like that with the vlog stuff too, because it's like if I just fucking set up a camera and I just start having a conversation with someone for 20 minutes or half an hour, I mean, that is an interview.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as official, but I mean, we might as well put out stuff like that.
It's on the same channel and everything.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah, and I randomly just seen this on the note.
What?
But I randomly just seen
this?
That you had the
Ian I randomly just seen that you had this.
Not the Playboi Carti and Kerwin fight randomly on
classic material.
No Jumper channel. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that's crazy. I didn't even know about it.
I mean, that was just like super earlier in the No Jumper career or history that like Ian Connor gets in a fight. I'm like, man, this shit ain't even on YouTube yet. Boom, I uploaded it, got a couple hundred thousand plays.
Yeah,
Kerwin was mad at first, but we got over it.
Yeah, I saw that. That was, I was like, what the fuck? I didn't know you were posting stuff like that. But yeah, I think
that was
like
years ago.
If I know that we're going to vlog, I'll do a little bit more research so I'm even more comfortable around the artists and know something maybe ask. Just
you can just have like questions that you could be like, oh, what's up? We're talking to Hakeem. You get a new song just dropped. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah.
Are you getting any upcoming projects? Cool. What do you expect from you in the next year or so?
Just see, my problem is that I need another filmer slash editor. I can pay them, but it's just like Chris is, you know, filming a couple of vlogs a week and then also editing them and then also helping me out with the live streams and everything. It's like, I'm going to throw this out here just because I need people who are actually dedicated in the LA area that could A, go to a show and do a vlog with somebody like Hakeem. That's requirement number one that we're going to judge you on is, can you do that? Number two, can you actually edit a vlog? Are you not going to be a weirdo? Are you going to be able to do it fast? Because that's one of the problems you have with vlogs is that people can edit vlogs, but it's going to take them fucking 4 days. It's like, no, this is a one-day project of you editing this. Like, you know, you need to be able to edit these things in like a couple hours, however long it takes, whatever. So I am interested in hiring somebody for something like that, but it's just so hard to trust anybody because recently, like, there was a photographer kid who fucking took some photos and stuff, and then he starts hitting me up. He sends me one email, he seems normal. Sends me another email, seems like a total psycho. And then he actually comes here, and there's a line to get in or whatever, and he's all at the front of the line yelling and at people and stuff. I'm the no-jumper photographer, blah, blah, blah. Comes in acting like a total tweaker. I'm like, oh, hell no. I definitely am never hitting your ass up again. Yeah. But that's like, I didn't even, all I did was respond to one email, and this guy was a fucking freak show.
You know who we have is that intern that Grant has.
You think he's good?
I think because I've already.
Oh,
I'm
is it the
already
one with the VHS.
Yeah. I already told him I'm gonna send him some stuff to so I can sample him his editing skills and stuff like that.
Yeah, but we need like a Chris Long. Though.
Well, he's good for editing. You know,
if he can help with editing, then it's good.
And then if I need for a second filmer, he can help. I mean, right. A show is gonna be hard for anybody to be able.
Film,
to.
Yeah. Filming these vlogs is gonna be difficult no matter what because no matter what, it's like you have to be able to get past security. You have to be able to be around rappers a lot. You know,
not
it's like
out, not
it's a real challenge. It's not something you just throw at some random person. But I am throwing that out there for the audience out there. And like my main thing is like if you want to be a vlog editor. Show me some stuff you've edited. If you want to be, if you could be an on-air personality, really, no matter what you're doing, I need to see video of you talking. Like, I need to be able to look at you and see what you look like on camera.
We need
and
females
that,
too.
Females would help more for the on-air thing, I think, than the editing thing. I don't. Most girls don't want to edit, do they?
Yeah.
I would hope not. I would hope they want more for themselves. Like, I mean, editing is.
We're looking for some no jumper female hosts.
Vlog editing is not a fun or glamorous pastime.
But the so if you're
it's not an art. It's just a fucking machine line thing.
You got to be fast and efficient, man, cuz and also even putting us on shit that's going on that you think would be dope. Got to bring like a lot.
I mean, if you know about the culture, obviously that's hugely beneficial in the sense that, you know, cuz that's part of the problem that we have is like if somebody editing a vlog, well, if the person editing the vlog doesn't know the difference between Young Bands talking and some random kid who kind of looks like Young Bands talking, then we're gonna have a big old issue because like the Young Bands footage is way more important.
Or like we're at the weekend show and you don't know who Cash XO is. You
know, I don't know who that is. Who is that?
He's the one. Cash manages like Weekend, Nav, 88 Glam.
So we're supposed to know their manager?
But Cash is like someone, he's like a staple in hip hop because he's
why would you bring up The Weeknd? As if anybody.
I know, I'm just.
Like, The Weeknd, but I don't know. I'm not The Weeknd Hive. Like, I don't know.
No,
about.
I know that, but I'm bringing it up exactly for that reason that someone that can know something as random
nobody
as that.
Nobody knows who that
I wouldn't know who that was.
There's Matt.
I don't know who
Cash
a lot
is
of
like
people are.
Three. But at least you're around in a sense and you reciprocate if I was like, yo, Chris Long, hey, here. You know what I'm saying?
I
like,
mean, you just pointed out and I just get it done. But.
Yeah, it's like
that really is the problem is that when you go to hire like a filmer, like a vlog filmer for the kind of thing that we're trying to do, it's just you have to have really good social skills and really good social maneuvering skills, which is just incredibly hard to have. Like to be able to go to a show and like, oh, you're supposed to be on the guest list and you're not on the guest list. Now you got to figure out how to get in and you got to like figure out who to call. You got to figure out who to tell Adam to call who blah, blah, blah. There's so many like little things that could happen. And it's always just a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah. Cause even with that,
I went in. Someone gave me a VIP ticket, even with the shit. I went inside to go get closer. Like, you know, shit like that. You got to be able to finesse and maneuver and know when shit's going wrong. Like, hey, we still got to get this done. How are we going to make this happen? You know what I'm saying? Like,
now that's what's weird is that that's what kind of holds us back sometimes is that, like, oh, we do a ton of vlogs with, say, Smoke Perp, Pump, Skies. Now it seems like we're doing a lot more stuff with Chief Keef and stuff. But those are all people that we have such good relationships with that it's nothing to get backstage with them and stuff like that, you know? Whereas if we want, like, all right, it would be super, you know, Six Dogs. Like, we're going to do something with Six Dogs and Young Bands and stuff over the next couple of days. That's really good. But at the same time, it's just like, if you wanted to go do a piece of content with Migos, yes, that would be fire. But you need a fucking incredible Migos plug to be able to do a vlog with Migos, because it's not even worth doing it unless you can be really up close to them. And because that's one thing that you really have to think about, what people like about the No Jumper vlogs in particular. And that's one thing that I'm glad that I identified, is that people weren't necessarily watching the No Jumper vlogs for me, which they, if you want to watch that, you can now watch that on 22 channel, but they were watching it because they like to see the behind the scenes perspective on what's actually going on. And like, our style shows what's actually going on, as opposed to some, like,
the culture,
you know, cool version of it. That's like, you know, like people go to a show like Smokers Club, but they don't actually know what it's like in back.
Yeah, at all. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They might, like, see an Instagram story of it, but they don't really get to see it. But then our videos actually show it. I think meeting new people through the vlogs and stuff, like we did at this Gucci thing that we did the other day, a bunch of tiny little interviews with, like, this dude, Matt, who works in PR for Infamous. Like, you know, we did a little 2-minute interview with him. Maybe it'll end up being 30 seconds in the vlog, whatever. But we got a little bit of, you know, knowledge about him. You know, oh, who's this guy? This guy who works for Capitol Records. Boom, we're talking to him. You know, it's like, that's one thing that I really like, is trying to, like, make people feel like they're part of something by letting them feel like they're there.
Or even, and even that, like, if you're someone, help us, not even said help us, but, like, be able to make, you know, like, your own connections come, like, hey, I know someone, let's go do a vlog over here. You know what I'm saying? Like, be able to bring more to the, you know, like, more to the table, like, whole different aspect, but still reach these requirements. You know what I'm saying? Something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you can't just be a filmer, because you can't just be there doing what you're being told to do. I mean, in a way, like, if I was there, I could have some random ass stupid filmer and just tell him what to do, and it might work. But, like, Chris actually has a mind of his own and actually has, like, ideas for stuff, so he works. But that's kind of like, that's why it's so hard to be, like, a vlog filmer for the kind of stuff that we're doing. But yeah. I mean, we are looking for people. So if you want to get in the comments below, or if you want to send DMs, a DM or an email to chrislongfilms@gmail.com.
Good luck,
Chris Long. That fucking sucks.
I mean, my problem
we'll get
was,
someone in. I'll get someone in as an intern under me to start doing some shit, and then from there, it's going to lead
be
to
your
more.
Boss.
That's exactly what it has to be.
It has to, like, if you can work with me really well, and then it'll lead to more shit. That's
exactly, because you couldn't just get somebody in here and be like, okay, boom, we're going to hire you, we're going to give you this much money, without actually knowing what they're like when they're out there in the field, because it is just so much harder than people think it is. Like, even going to the Smuggler's Club, like, they weren't trying to let me in. Like, I had a
I mean, that was, if you notice in the vlog, right, when we get on, I left it in there, when we get on Shoreline, we had to push the security guard and then jump a fence to get on stage. And then
you got to be able to do shit like that. Like, finesse a fucking guard. Finesse, like, five fucking guards. Like, we're supposed to be back here.
At Rolling Loud, I grabbed a security guard by the fucking throat and got kicked out. So you got to know when to do that.
That happened
too. We're not saying to do, but, like, you got to have that in you, like, finesse, like, that finesse ability. Like, nigga, I'm supposed to be here. What do you mean? Don't say nigga if you white.
But, except you, Sleepy Casper.
You're cool.
Good.
But you got to...
In Joe Urban.
Put yourself...
Riley Reed.
You got to be able to put yourself in positions to make shit happen. You know what I'm saying? Just like...
Okay, but an example, though, that I felt really bad about. Shout out to Philosophy. Anybody who knows Philosophy, we don't talk about him enough, but he's a... You know, obviously a big part of the podcast or of the channel. He edits a large percentage of the Expose. He's done a bunch of different graphic design, blah, blah, blah. He's been here. He's hung out with us. Love this kid. He's like the best editor, and he's moving here, and he's going to be a much bigger part of the business. But here's the thing about Philosophy. One time he was with us, and we were about to go do the Smoke Perp and Murder Beats vlog, the one that was called them previewing their album or some shit, going crazy in the studio is what I changed the title to, because it I had a different title before the project came out, but they, you know, so we're with Philosophy and we're with Murder and all them. I'm like, you want to go with us? And we're going to go out to eat. We're going to go to the studio, all this shit. Philosophy's like, okay, cool. He's like, hyped. Then we all, like, you know, all of a sudden there's three Escalades outside. So we all run to go hop in these Escalades. Philosophy didn't get a seat. So he fucking missed out on it because he didn't realize that, like, no, you have to fight for your seat.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to go, you have to, like, really hustle to, like, and it's unfortunate too because it's like, he's my employee. I should be the point of contact saying, no, all right, him, he's got to be here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I should be on that. But at the same time, you know, I got, like, a bunch of people with me. I got my girl coming through, like, all this shit. So it's like, my head wasn't in the game enough to remember. I hit him up, like, an hour or two later, like, oh, bro, I just realized you want to hear, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't even call me right away. Like, if he had called me right away, I would have sent him an Uber to come straight to the place or whatever, too. But, like, he's kind of from a super different mentality because he hadn't been out in L.A. for that long and stuff. And
nice fart.
Oh, you heard that?
That's like, take a shot or every time Adam farts. But anyway.
Gross.
God.
Anyway.
Don't
but
be gross.
You got
to. Is that bad to wave a fart?
It's kind of gross.
Chris is going to puke. Chris but hates farts.
You gotta, like, know how to finagle and finesse.
Finagle.
Like, I really think, like, or even just know, like, fuck. All right, no one called me a fucking Uber, or I can't get an Uber. I gotta call my fucking
right,
Uber to get there.
And
you
that
know,
day,
like,
that day too, someone jumped in the seat that
I'm
supposed
say
to get
her
in.
Name?
Riz.
And I mean, it's like Murder and Smoke, and I'm like, you know, she jumped in. I'm like, get the fuck out. Like, yeah. I'm like, I'm supposed to be here filming. I'm doing a job. You know, you just got to be.
Nah, you got to be like that. You got to know what's up.
That's part of it, too. Like, even, like, when we were all going to the studio with Keith, there was, like, a moment where there's two kids who just, like, don't really look like they belong. They're Z Money's filmers or whatever. And, like, there's a moment where Keith just, like, looks at everybody and he just goes, who y'all? Y'all with Adam? And that was weird. I was like, damn, he knows my name. Weird. But, like, you know, it's because, like, you know, there's a point where, like, there's always people who are trying to tag along with the group. And if you have eight people, that group is going to manifest into 50 people so fucking fast. Yeah. If you've got clout and the ability to go places and stuff, that group will just grow and grow and grow. You have to be able to cut it off.
And you got to know, like, even you're going to see your friends and shit. You got to know what you're doing. Like, oh, nah, I'm on a mission. You got to keep that tunnel. Like, I was at Smoker's Cub. You know how much people was, like, trying to. I'm like, yo, I'm out here doing shit right now. You might not think as much, but yo, chill. You know what I'm saying? I had to get, you know, my mind was on straight.
Dude,
that.
I was
like,
seeing
boom,
with
boom,
Dub
boom.
When Dub was at Coachella with Pump. So he's at Coachella with Pump, and Pump is like fucking, you know, Pump has his passes and everything, but Dub is with him, and Dub doesn't even have his pass. So he's got to, like, in a situation like that, you got to stay super close to the artist because the artist is going to be the one who gets to go in everywhere. And if you're Dub and you're standing right next to Pump, then you're good. But, like, Dub was just telling me that he had people from his neighborhood and shit just hitting him up, like, yo, I'm here. Like, can you get me back into this area to hang out, blah, blah, blah. Can we, blah, blah, blah. Bro, like, I can't do shit when I'm in that environment because I can't just let other people in.
It's not my shit to do.
Yeah, it's not my situation to be in. So it's like, you always feel weird about that shit.
And it's hard explaining that to people. People be like, oh, you. Sometimes people be like, oh, you change, you acting different. I'm like, come on, bro.
I'm just trying to get my shit done. And that's like the attitude that I have on it. Most of the things that I do, it's like, if I wasn't here working, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to go home.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to be here. Like, what the fuck ever? I'm just working.
I don't even
come
here as much anymore because of shit like that. Because I realized, like, I mean, yeah, I had to come around and force myself around a little bit, you know what I'm saying, to get where I got to. But I realized at a certain point, like, all right, just don't burn yourself out. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to, like, know, like.
No, that is a good point. Because if you're always just hanging out and not working, then people are just looking at you like, what are you doing?
Why are you here?
Yeah, like, I totally get that.
And then you.
I feel that way with, you know, okay, like for Smokers Club, like I already knew that my crew, and they told me, like, yeah, we can get you a +3. I already knew that my crew was going to, or a +4 was going to be you, because you're co-hosting, Chris, because he's filming, my girlfriend, and then Lavelle, not my security guard, but my large homie who.
Another Chris Long, basically.
You know, my large homie that is going to hang out with me the whole time and make sure that if anything happens, that we good.
Somebody's getting knocked out.
So I already got my crew. Like, yeah, that's my crew. Yes, I have 5 million friends, but I got 4 people that I'm going to the show with. But then people hit me up. Like, somebody like Nate is like, yo, I want to, like, come help film and stuff.
You're not really trying.
I feel bad because Nate could help film. He totally would be offering something legit. But then at the same time, it's like, bro, I got my crew. Like, I, as much as you've been my friend.
I told Nate, too,
and
same
he's been
thing.
My friend for 10 years.
Yeah,
but it's still kind of
like,
I'm working.
I'll try. I'm like, but it's probably going to rely on me getting there. I mean, Trev knew. Trev hit me up too.
And he's a finesser.
I watched him finesse his way right in. So like he got in no problem. And I told Nate this.
He knew someone,
but he was with a group of people and shit. And they all
got in. He stood out there and he finessed, because I came inside. And Trevor's actually one of the first people I seen finesse out here. He finessed me into this club when I didn't have my ID.
How'd he do it?
He buffed his way. He's like, yo, we're supposed to be like, what are you doing? Like, stop playing. You know what I'm saying? Just hitting them shoulders on them.
I always just give up when they like try to not let me in somewhere.
Well, there's a certain point with it. Like, I'll wait out if I should be giving up or not. But sometimes I'm like, well, I really came out here. I can't give up. I got to just take this pride, this embarrassment real quick and just be like, yo, you got to let me in type shit. And then sometimes it works, but sometimes you got to know, like, yo, they're not going to let you in. And you got to know when even the right questions to ask. Like, no, if you know you're about to go finesse, don't say shit to make it not work. You know what I'm saying? Be calculated. Like, if I was to finesse and I'd be like, yo, I'm here with so-and-so, this and that. If I knew and I looked at you and I could tell you're not going to budge for it, I wouldn't even say or ask that. I would try to find another way. Like, hey, that's not going to work with this nigga. Maybe I should go scope it out in the line to someone that probably got turned away and see what they said, or look at someone in line like, yo, is there money, this and that, da da da. Just be calculated on how you make, you know, this shit happen. So
learn how to fly and fly over the fence.
Or that, or you down a hot fence. Look, my fucking pants is ripped right now, nigga.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Look at that shit.
Normally, like, I actually am, like, normally I am supposed to be in the event that I'm trying to get into, and I still have a hard time getting in. Like, my name is supposed to be on the list, or the artist actually is someone that I'm close to when I'm trying to get into a show. And it's still hard to get in, because half the time the staff at the place doesn't fuck with you or whatever. It can still be a huge pain in the ass. That's why I'm so amazed that someone like you will go to a show where you're not on the list, where you don't really know people, and just somehow you still will make it happen. I don't know. I never had a part in my life where I really did that, because I would go to shows and stuff, but I was never like crazy about it until I actually got to the point where I could, like, you know,
get in.
Like, I used to go to hardcore shows.
Hardcore shows, but you could get into that because you knew everybody and they're small.
And there was no backstage in the smaller venues.
Yeah.
Now there is, but, you know, when I think about venues that artists play now.
I mean,
we're going to fucking shows and churches.
Credited to just me personally.
But there was a backstage at those shows. We just weren't trying to get in there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't say that there definitely was, but there probably was. Like, fucking, you still see that all the time at the shows where there isn't like a real backstage. The backstage is terrible.
There's still people cramming
themselves into that, just trying to be cool.
Yeah, now. If I was to be backstage in a place I shouldn't be, I kind of just don't take the awkward, like, there you're going to get awkward energy and maybe some shit like that, but I kind of feel like I take the approach on making rooms smaller, like know enough that I can probably join a conversation and not seem like I'm out of place, or maybe bring something different to the conversation that needs to be there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, not make shit awkward and weird.
I feel you on your desire to like make conversation that doesn't feel weird, because, you know, even in like the Chief Keef and Tato and Trippy situation the other day, I was being a lot more quiet than probably people would ever really expect, because they're so used to me being loud, mm-hmm. boisterous. Quite often, especially when you're here, if there's a conversation going on, I'm going to kind of be like at the forefront of it, because I'm sort of like the biggest personality in the room a lot of the time. In the Chief Keef, Tato, Trippie Redd studio scenario, it's like they're the rappers. They're clearly from somewhere else. They're from a fucking different mentality. So I'm like falling back and like just kind of observing the conversation, jump in it a little bit. But I'm not really like talking like crazy, because I don't feel like, you know, I'm kind of an outsider in that scenario. If I hung out with them a ton more and like, but me, somebody like me and Trippie, we talk a lot more than, you know, I'm not really like going out of my way trying to talk to Keith like crazy. But I will say, Hakeem, that kind of like the weird thing that you do, just because it's fun to rip you apart, is you tend to just speak about your own. Oh, thank you, Chris.
You're trying to get that.
Now you're trying to smoke.
You tend to speak about things that you know about or that you have been privy to as if they are the most important things in the world. Like, you will be talking about some producer that you know and like how his career is going, and like there's been times where I've just been sitting there like, why the fuck are you still talking about this? Like,
yeah, I mean,
this is just not that interesting, and you don't know that much about it, and you're just going on and on and on about it. It's like kind of odd.
Everything's interesting to Hakeem.
Anything that he's been a part of.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just like, whoa, I was there. I was in the room for this. This matters.
It does matter. I mean, yeah, but I probably do that around you guys the most. I mean, I try not to do it as much anymore, but I don't know. I feel like it was smart. Like if I was with you and I was sitting there with fucking Tato and Chief Keef and them, I'd probably just not say anything or go talk to their fucking cameraman. I wouldn't even talk to them. Because their cameraman's gonna talk to
them. I noticed that when we went to did the Chief Keef vlog. You were like behind me, and I was trying to get as close as I could, but you weren't really like trying to go in there and talk to anybody.
I know my place. It's just, you gotta know when to like not really do shit, like, or just feel the energy and shit like that and how to go about it.
Right. And I know that I'm gonna sound like a clout chaser here, but basically, like, think about it. Months ago, I had managed to get a meeting with Keith's manager. So already had like a good relationship from talking to him about his whole thing and everything. Then I actually met Keith and them, hung out the other day. His manager called me the next day, like, you know, hyped that I actually hung out with him and stuff and did the video and stuff. Now, boom, like really locked into place. Cause a lot of times the people that might be easier to make friendships with and shit are like the manager, the cameraman, the more normal guy. There was a guy who was selling weed in the studio. Boom. I was like, had a long conversation with him about what it's like to sell weed to these guys. Because it's like, obviously it comes with its own unique set of circumstances because they're just shiesty as fuck. Like just trying to get fucking him to, I'm good, give him like breaks on the prices for the fucking kush. Yeah. Like crazy. It's so funny. But like, you know, those kind of dudes, like, and the reason why I'm talking about even making these connections is just because I want to do video content with somebody like Keith, you know? So it's like making these connections and stuff, being able to do it in a good way is good too. But like, like to the people out there probably trying to think like, how does this relate to what they do? Like, it's like, if you want to be in the music industry, well, you know, maybe your dream scenario would be that you were something like a you know, going on tour, like a touring agent or some shit, a booking agent for somebody like Chief Keef. Well, it's all who you know. Like, exactly. You just got to meet people in the industry. You got to be around people. And you're probably not going to be able to go be a booking agent for some huge artist at first. What you want to do is just, like, find artists that you think that you can work with in some way and, like, make yourself valuable to them. And then slowly that'll, like, grow your resume of being able to help other people. Like, if I was just some kid trying to, like, make connections in the music industry, I was thinking about that when I was in there the other day. Really, hanging out in the studio till 4 a.m. and just taking all the good opportunities to meet people and talk to people, that is what it would take. Like, if I was, I would be doing the same thing. If I was hungry as fuck, I'd be trying to get into those studio situations. I'd be trying to go on some random tour. I'd be trying to, like, help out with somebody who's putting on shows. Just anything I could do to meet as many people in the industry as possible and then find ways to show them that I could be valuable.
Yeah. And I think I've learned that. I mean, I was on a plane when I came to California like 2 years ago, and I thought about a lot of this stuff, and I'm like, that's a lot of the things I put in my head, and I'm like, you got to find a way to be a chameleon, you know? Like, I learned that from Jay-Z. You know, he can go in any room and not feel out of place. You know what I'm saying? He can be in a room with the Rockers and be in a room with the Jocks or be in a room with
the Rock.
Or The Rock.
Kid Rock.
Dwayne Johnson. Right.
Yeah, but like
Jay-Z could walk into a room, Dwayne Johnson is sitting there, no shirt on, totally greased up. Jay-Z doesn't get a boner.
Nope.
Can you say that?
I would never get a boner.
Not from The Rock.
No, man.
You wouldn't get a hard on? Okay, well, that's interesting. Man.
But look, I'm saying,
speaking of The Rock meets The Rock.
Wow.
Sorry, I hit the
button. I saw what you did there. Yeah. But like, I don't know, I see kids like come up to like rappers all the time, like, hey, like if I saw a group of rappers, this and that, and like I know I was trying to fucking get signed to like Travis, and Travis is with his entourage, I'm not going up to Travis Scott right away like, yo, here, let me rap for you. Nah, I'm going to go befriend his cameraman or his assistant.
You would do that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that.
But think about it. Okay. Trying to like be cool with a rapper. Or like get into his good graces or whatever. Same exact mentality as trying to fuck a girl. If you walk up to a girl and you tell her, oh my God, I'm trying to smash. You are not going to smash.
No.
If you walk up to Travis Scott and you say, oh my God, bro, I want you to sign me. He is not going to sign you.
No.
Here's what you maybe can do. Let's go to the girl situation first. if say you all you need to do, like somehow you're in some scenario where the only thing that matters here is if you hook up with her, the only chance that you have is to befriend her, talk to her, make friends with her, somehow show her that you have something to offer to the world. Same exact thing with Travis Scott. You just have to fucking somehow convince them that you're cool enough to be around, that you're a cool guy. And this is such useless info for the kids, though, because it's like, well, how the fuck am I going to do that? Instead, they see Travis Scott outside of fucking Mickey D's, and they're like, oh my God. Like, they just act crazy because, like, they're not going to be able to have a situation where they could just be on some cool shit around him. But what they could do is find a smaller artist and then show how they're, you know, slowly develop their skill set. And you might want to be an A&R at a label. But realistically, like, okay, you want to be an A&R at a label. Here's what you got to do. Start doing stuff with local artists. Start doing something on a small level. Like, take, you know, Internet Hippie on Twitter?
Yeah.
Dude, he's such a good example. He's from fucking Massachusetts. And he writes, like, a couple paragraphs at a time just talking about the musicians that he likes in terms of underground artists and stuff. And he focuses on a lot of artists who are way more underground than most of the stuff that I cover, which is really fucking smart on his part. Because he's able to sort of, you know, appeal to a lot of fans of rappers who have 5 or 10,000 followers, which might be smaller than most of the artists I work with, but he's able to, like, really fill that niche for them. And then I already know that he's already getting offers from fucking labels to be an A&R for them. And I think he might only have 20,000 Twitter followers. So it's that, like, to a kid out there watching this, they'd think, oh, No Jumper has whatever, 500,000 Instagram followers. We got fucking 1.5 million YouTube subscribers, blah, blah, blah. They think that is like, they can't possibly get that. But, I mean, look at the fucking Internet Hippie kid. He got his Twitter up to 20,000. He's built his reputation off knowing about underground rap, you know? And then he already is getting job offers that are going to pay him probably a real good salary that anybody who's watching this who wants to make it in the music industry, like, he's going to be making an amount of money that anybody would probably be pretty happy with to start out with. All because he was able to make a Twitter account where he talked about music and got it up to 20,000 Twitter followers. That is not that hard.
And he made it, but I think the thing he did was making it thorough, like, knowing about it. Like, actually, like, being a student, like, he's someone that knows his shit. I think a lot of the people watching this, like, you know, the kids from the small towns and this and that, before I even moved here or anything like that or shit like that, you gotta study, be a fucking student. Like,
and think about it. No Jumper was a certain size for a period of time until certain things started happening. All of a sudden X happened. All of a sudden Lil Pump happened. And, like, those things that I had covered when they were really, really small became really, really big, and then it kind of took No Jumper up with it. Like, all the older content started to do a lot better. All of a sudden, people started to know who I was. All of a sudden, the labels wanted to talk to me. I mean, it's the same exact thing for this Internet Hippie kid. Like, he covers a lot of these fucking rappers that I don't really... It's partially that I don't care because they're just not really on my radar yet. A lot of the people he talks about, some of them, I would like he posts lists sometimes of rappers, like all these different rappers. I probably should go.
I probably should go and
just, like, you know, look up all these different dudes and fucking, like, really give, like, a look into more of the stuff that he's doing. But he focused, you know, I just did a fucking T Grizzly interview. At the end of the day, I could say I'm underground and shit, but, you know, how underground can you really be when you're doing a T Grizzly interview? Like, I just did a Sheck West interview. To me, that's kind of early on. Like, he's still an underground artist. He's signing fucking Kanye and Travis. He's got 60,000 on Instagram. He's not that underground, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, but with the Internet Hippie kid, if one of those artists that he's fucking with that I haven't really necessarily, like, been, I'm not going to get credit when one of those artists blows up unless I end up doing stuff with him, but he's going to get credit for fucking with those dudes really early on. And then he could be the next No Jumper just by, if he picks the right dudes, puts his chips on the right fucking squares and just pops off.
Really believes it. Like, he's believing in himself and really being thorough. Like,
the thing is that he is doing the one thing that you can't fake, which is just demonstrating some knowledge, you know? And it's not like he has to have the most knowledge. It's not like he has to be a fucking genius. He sits there and he writes, like, one or two paragraphs of, you know, not even that, like, 4 or 5 sentences. And then those tweets, like, go viral consistently enough that he just, like, is doing pretty good on Twitter, but I'm just saying he can make a lot out of that momentum if he wants to, and kids out there can too. They just, you know, you can't fake it. Like, there's a lot of people who really want to work in the business and stuff, but at the end of the day, if you could, this is your challenge. If you can write a 5-sentence tweet that actually does well, where you're talking about new unsigned underground music, whatever, and if it's funny or it's interesting or whatever, if you can do that, then boom, I have a lot of respect for you. If you can't do that, then you might actually not be as good as you think you are.
Yeah, or up, even in a conversation, be like, oh, I didn't even know that. You know, like, wow, that's actually dope. You know, like.
You know what is actually interesting about him, though, is that he's actually, and I'm giving Internet Hippie a huge cosign here, but which was not my intent. What's wrong with my throat? But
big dope.
No, I do. I cosign him. I think he's doing really good stuff. But I mean, I wasn't meaning to make this like 20 minutes about this. He's actually coming up by doing the written word on Twitter. He's taking advantage of the fact that you can write longer tweets now, which is like a new thing. But like most of the people you see popping off now are people like academics who harnessed online video to basically take the news thing mm-hmm. that, you know, Complex or Hip Hop DX or whatever have always been doing. And he's taking that and academics harnessed that, but did it in video form and made it more interesting. So now you have all these websites that do blog posts about news and all this bullshit doing nothing. Like nobody fucking cares about them.
I don't do that.
But then you have academics exploding because he actually decided to do it on YouTube in full social media form. And like that is a lot more common than people popping off doing the written word. But being able to do that, I think, is really impressive.
Yeah. Nah, he just be thorough, man, and be a student and actually really be a student. Learn. I feel like if you're learning and you're putting out good shit and good content, the best of your abilities, I think things will happen.
And I will say, too, that if you want to make it in the business, you have to be aware of your professionalism to a certain extent, which is just a warning I want to throw out there for people because, you know, okay, you're smoking weed in the studio with people. That's cool. Nobody gives a fuck. You can smoke weed. It's all right. But in terms of, like, oh, the rappers are drinking lean, so you think, like, oh, you want to drink lean, too, or, like, the rappers are bringing girls to the studio, so you want to bring girls, too. You don't want to put yourself into the category of just being like a party boy, like type dude. Like if you want to present yourself, a huge percentage of people that I know that are successful in the music business end up being the guys who, you know, they can fit in around the rappers, but they don't themselves take part. They don't fucking smoke weed, really. The weed is the one thing that I think you could still, like, you dude, could be like a successful A&R type person, still smoke weed. It's all good. But I mean,
yeah, I feel like the weed thing, because it kind of makes them fit in a little bit. It makes
like, oh, you're kind of cool, man. You know,
but they're not fucking doing lines of coke and drinking lean.
Exactly, because as soon as you start to think of it like that, yeah. Because the engineer, like, say you want to be an engineer, the engineer in the studio, sometimes you'll see him rolling blunts, sometimes you'll see him hit the blunt, but you would never see him like. I mean, maybe you would see him drink lean once in a while. Maybe that's, but rare. I mean, the artist probably does not want to see his engineer drinking lean.
Yeah, I mean,
you're probably not gonna feel good about that. No. I probably wouldn't feel good about that.
Definitely not. You ain't pulling no like, mixing my records.
I'm paying you to, like, you know, chop the track, bruh. I don't really want to see you drinking the juice, like, my guy.
Like, make me sound like Whitney.
Yeah, make me sound like Whitney. Anyway, I don't know why we just gave all this professional advice to the kids out there, but I guess we're going to...
This is no jumper, man. This is what y'all get.
That might be what they wanted. We could look at the chat right now, but fuck that. We're not going to do that. We're just going to fire up the stream, and then we're going to look at the chat.
Yeah. Are we
I know
done,
on a personal level... Yeah, I think we're done.
Damn, we're not talking about Childish Gambino's video?
Nah, fuck that shit. That's old. We're talking about Chief Keef. Nah, I like that. I like the video.
I think it was dope.
I like the memes.
I like the memes.
I like the meme of him shooting him in the super gay position. Like,
yeah.
Not gay, but
it's not
feminine.
Gay. It was like some historical black shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like based. The video is
then
kinda...
why don't I know about it? Anyway, Adam 22 show. Ooh, I'm just chilling with Adam. Ooh, I'm just chilling with Adam.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
I'm just chilling with Adam.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm chilling with Adam. Yeah. My name is Jeff.
Jeff.
And we out.
We out.
I'm just chilling with Adam, huh? Yeah, I'm just chilling with Adam, huh? I'm just chilling with Adam, huh? Look, that's the host of Adam, huh? I'm just chilling with Adam.